and we've been looking at different characters in the scriptures as examples, some good, some not so good, and relating them to the Christian life and examples for us as we walk through this Christian life. And I want to have you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and we're going to consider Uzziah, who is an example of failure through pride. An example of failure through pride. We're going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll go back and break it down and make some applications for us here tonight. The Bible says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerubbaal and the Mehunimins, those people. Verse 8, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe of Maaseiah, the ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. So he's got 2,600 captains, chief men. Verse 13, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far beyond, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land." Here's a story that starts off really, really well. A lot of good, a lot of potential, but it ends in ruin. And Uzziah becomes for us an example of failure through pride. The Bible says that Uzziah was just a young man of 16 years old when he was crowned king. The Bible also says in the first few verses that he reigned 52 years. He had a long reign. as king. And he was a young man when he became king. He had a whole long tenure as king. A lot of good things happened. But the Bible also notes here for us that he was under the godly influence of a man named Zechariah, who the Bible says had understanding in the visions of God. Here, he had all kinds of opportunity. He even had godly influence in his life. And yet he still ended in failure and in ruin. The Bible says that this Zechariah had understanding in the visions of God. No doubt he understood what another man named Zechariah before him understood, who had a message for the nation of Israel. Just turn back a couple of chapters to chapter 24. This man's name, this prophet's name is Zechariah, not the same one. But here's the message that this man had from God to the people. And it was a consistent message. Chapter 24 and verse 20 says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you." Here the message was, listen, if you forsake the Lord, you're not going to prosper in your life. And this is exactly what happened with Uzziah. He started out right, but at some point he forsook the Lord and he didn't prosper anymore. He was a man who greatly prospered while he sought after the Lord. And this message that we just read about, if you forsake the Lord, you're not going to prosper, how true that message would eventually be in the life of Uzziah. Apparently, though, Zechariah's words and his influence had an effect in the heart of young Uzziah. Verse 5, go back over there, of chapter 26. "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." I want us to learn some lessons from the life of Uzziah here tonight. And the story of his life reveals a few things to us. First of all, we're going to consider an encouraging start. Secondly, an assuring confirmation. But then thirdly, a terrible fall. Consider with me an encouraging start. Verse 5 states that he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The Bible tells us here that as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. In other words, as long as God had his rightful place in Uzziah's life and in Uzziah's work, there were no interruptions to the steady march of his rising prosperity. As long as he was seeking after the Lord, he was progressing. He was moving upward as long as he sought after God. And God made him to prosper. Look at all the things that he prospered in. Beginning in verse 6, we find that he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and he brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna, and he built these cities. Verse 7 says that God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerubbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. Those were some sort of a tax or a tribute. And his name spread abroad, even to the entering of Egypt, and he strengthened himself exceedingly. So here he's profiting politically. He's also prospering beneficially himself personally. The Bible says down here a little bit later on that he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, the husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. So here he's prospering personally. He also prospered militarily. Look at verse 11. "Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands." And then verse 13 says he had an army of over 300,000 men to do battle. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host, shields and spears and helmets and habergeons. He's like all the best he had for his soldiers. And the Bible says in verse 15, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. You see the blessing of God here in his life, in this encouraging start, as long as he sought after the Lord, there was no disruption to his increase and his prosperity and his blessing. And let me make this application here tonight. You know, all true and abiding prosperity is only God made. You would prosper in life in any way, shape, or form. It's only of the Lord. Whether that's physical prospering or spiritual prospering, it is not without the Lord. And the condition to that prosperity is seeking after God. You want success in your life? You need to continue to seek after the Lord. You want a successful marriage? You need to continue to seek after the Lord. You want a successful business life and make good choices financially? You need to seek after the Lord. What is this seeking after the Lord? We'll get to that in just a second. I want you to note, first of all, though, here, that it was only as long as he sought the Lord, and no longer, that he prospered. The moment he stopped seeking after God was the moment he started to decline. What is this seeking after the Lord? Well, it's seeking to know God on a more intimate level, understanding his character, understanding his person. It's loving him, learning to love him more and more. It's learning to do his will in our life without question. It's learning of him, learning his character, having his qualities and his character implanted into our own life. That is what seeking after God is all about. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, in verse 29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Where is rest to be found in your soul? It's when you learn of the Lord. Jesus said, "Take my yoke and learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly." Paul said when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, "I beseech you, brethren, on the meekness and the gentleness of Jesus Christ." What kind of character did Jesus have? Well, Philippians chapter 2 describes for us exactly in detail the kind of character that Jesus had. Philippians 2 verse 7, "But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." What is seeking after the Lord? It's seeking to know him, to love him, to do his will, to learn of him, learn of his character, and have his own character implanted in our life. Understand this. Truly seeking to know God more and learning more of the Lord is going to produce something very clear in an individual's life. It is going to produce humility in a person's life. When we learn of God, and we seek after God to be like him, and God begins to move us and to grow us, learning more and more of the Lord is going to produce humility in our life. Because we see him, and we've learned of him and his holiness, and we see ourselves for what we are and who we are. And this is a key thing when it comes to prospering spiritually, when it comes to prospering physically in life, is humility before God. Uzziah is an example of failure through pride, and we'll get to it in just a little while. But as long as he sought the Lord, God caused him to prosper. You know what? Let me say this to you tonight. Some people, start off in a better position than others do. For example, somebody, you know, there might be some who grew up in Christian homes. And their parents love God with all of their heart. And their homes are disciplined. And their homes are structured. And their homes are secure. And their parents teach character and discipline in their life. And some people start off with everything given to them. There's no reason not to succeed, just like Uzziah did. 16 years old, under the influence of a godly man who understood and had wisdom and discernment and understood the visions of God. What a man to learn from. Some people start off a whole lot better than others do, as opposed to some who don't have that same opportunity and they waste a lot of their life or a lot of their life is ruined by sin, but God saves them and then God brings them into His family and turns them around and they love and serve God the rest of their life. The point I'm making is that some start off in a better position than others. Uzziah was 16. He had influence of a godly man in his life. He had every possible chance to succeed. He had an encouraging start. But none of that guarantees success. He was still responsible for himself. And prosperity came only as long as he sought after the Lord. We need to learn to seek after God, to learn Him, to know Him, have His character implanted on our life. Because the fact of the matter is, every one of us needs our characters fixed. Every one of us needs more Christ-likeness in our lives. Every one of us needs more humility in our life. Uzziah had an encouraging start because he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Go over back to 2 Chronicles 26, and I want you to see verse 15. Secondly, we see an assuring confirmation here. An encouraging start. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. We see the Lord manifesting that prosperity in his reign, in his kingdom. Verse 15, the second part of verse 15, though, is an assuring confirmation because the Bible says here, "For he was marvelously helped till he was strong." The blessing and the prospering of God here are recorded in the victories over the Philistines, who were the long enemies of Israel. Look at verse 7. "And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerubbaal and the Mehunims." God helped him, the Bible says. And verse 15 said that he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Not only did Uzziah prosper politically and personally, but God also blessed him with that military might. We read those verses in 11 through 14 that he had an army of over 300,000 strong. And they were evidently a formidable military force because verse 15 says that his name spread far abroad. Verse 8 says, "And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly." Here we find the manifestation of God's blessing and his prospering. But let me say to you, anybody who is helped of God in some way is marvelously helped. Amen? And isn't this what God's purpose is for His saints? To make strong and help those who seek after Him with the whole heart? Isn't that what God's purpose is for you and I? To become strong spiritually, that His will might be done in our life? See, the first part of the reign of Uzziah, the first part of his life, summarized in this statement here in verse 15b, "And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong." That's a good summary of the first part of the reign of Uzziah. God placed extraordinary blessings upon Uzziah until he was powerful, and until he was a strong king. But sadly, he forgot where those blessings came from. Because we read in verse 16 and following the third principle here tonight, and that's a terrible fall. Verse 16 says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." Verse 16 to the end of the chapter details Uzziah's pride, his arrogance, and God's subsequent chastisement on his life. What a sad conclusion to such a good start. Amen. Some of the major pitfalls of success are pride and arrogance. And sadly, when Uzziah became strong, the Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction because he transgressed against the Lord his God. And he went into the temple to burn incense upon that altar. In his pride, Uzziah usurped the exclusive office of the priesthood, something he had no right to. But it was his pride that caused him to do it. And Uzziah fell, and he ended in ruin the rest of his life. Why? What was the cause? Well, it was because of pride, first of all. Verse 16 says that his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. Lifted up through pride and through self-confidence. Listen, as long as he sought to honor the Lord, God lifted him up. But now when he's strong and he thinks he's got it under control and he thinks he knows it, he sought to honor himself by assuming too much. And it was his pride, listen, it was his pride that kept him from being able to increase. But it was also his pride that led to another area. Why? What was the cause of his fall? What was the cause of his ruin and his demise? First of all, it was pride. But second of all, it was because he stopped receiving instruction. At first, he was under the man of God, Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, he made him to prosper. You get over to verses 17 and 18 here. Look at this. After he goes into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar, look what opportunity he had. Verse 17, "And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and they said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord." Look, he had instruction right here, and he had opportunity to reverse course, but he didn't. The cause of his ruin and the cause of his fall was that his heart was lifted up in pride, and he stopped receiving instruction. By this point, we don't exactly know how old Uzziah is, but a lot of things have happened, and no doubt he'd reigned for quite some time at this point. And he probably had a lot of experience in his life. Maybe he was even a bit of an older man at this point. He reigned for 52 years. The Bible doesn't say. He probably had some experience. And you know, having experience in life often brings with it much wisdom. It does. A man will gain insight, he'll gain discernment about things when experience has taught him a few lessons. That's what the Bible says. In fact, go over with me to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to spend a little bit of time here in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. The Bible says the hoary head, that's the gray, white hair, is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. That gray head is a glory to a man if it's found in the way of righteousness. It would indicate somebody who has some insight, who has some discernment, has some wisdom from experience. However, just because a person is older doesn't mean that they're necessarily wise spiritually. Hold your place here in Proverbs chapter 16 and look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 13. The Bible says, "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." Note here, according to this, what is the implication as to what constitutes being wise and being foolish? Right? We've got a young child. The Bible says, "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." What is the implication here as to what constitutes being wise and being foolish? Somebody tell me. Being able to receive what? What's the word? What's the word here? Admonished, right? That word, admonished, means, this is exactly what it means. It means able to be taught. Better is a wise child, someone in their youth who's wise, who's able to be taught, than an old king who's lived a long life who's no more able to be admonished. No more able to be taught. What does this tell us? Well, two implications here. First of all, even old men still need instruction. Amen. The moment that one thinks that he has arrived, or the moment that one does not find value in instruction, is the moment he shows himself to be a fool. No one has it all figured out. In fact, Proverbs 16, I told you we're going to spend a little time there. Go back to that same chapter, Proverbs 16, 25, which is a verse we all know. But we also need to take it in context here. Verse 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's no age limit that is assigned here. It's a general statement that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Doesn't matter how old he is, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the point is, or the application is, you know, just because there's a way of operating life that seems right to me doesn't mean that it is right. Just because there's a way of thinking and a way of operating life that seems right to us, it doesn't actually mean that it is right. In fact, that way might be the way of death. It might be the way of ruin. And the Bible tells us here in this same chapter, Proverbs chapter 16, that a person is a fool who will not receive instruction. Look at verse 21. Solomon says, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." Verse 23, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips." You know what this word learning means in verse 21? The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Verse 23, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips." That word learning is a Hebrew word that means to receive instruction. This is powerful. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth with receiving instruction. Verse 23, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth," increasing instruction or receiving instruction, "into his life." In this very same context of chapter 16, the Bible says that it's the proud in heart and the haughty in spirit that will experience a fall. Look at verse 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The point is, it's the proud person who won't listen. It's the proud person who won't receive instruction anymore. And a man is considered a fool that is not a teachable person, no matter what age he is. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools, or knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look with me at Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." You can usually tell when someone's a scorner, or someone's a scoffer, someone's proud, someone's arrogant, they think they've got it down. They, you know, any kind of instruction, worthless, doesn't mean anything. Or else they pass it off as not valuable. According to the Word of God, that individual's a fool. "And speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." And Solomon said, those who increase in learning or who receive instruction, they're the ones who are wise. In the same context, it's the proud in heart and the haughty in spirit that will experience a fall. This is exactly what happened to Uzziah. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, and he stopped receiving instruction. And it led to ruin in his life. A person who's not teachable is a fool. An old king who's no more able to be admonished is a fool. The conclusion of the matter, if you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, the conclusion of this whole thing is found in verse 21. Verse 21 says, "And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house." It's like a hospital, a place of separation, being a leper. "For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land." Here's the conclusion. He was a leper for the rest of his days, until the day of his death, separated. Instead of his life being a blessing, instead of the rest of his life being blessed by the Lord, as was the first part of his life, he was smitten of God with a curse. And it was Uzziah's own sin that cut him off from the house of the Lord. So much ruin when he started so very blessed. And it's the sin of putting self and pride in front of the Lord that's going to kindle the wrath of God in a person's life. And it's going to cut off fellowship and blessing from the Lord. And the one who sets aside, or the one who leaves off seeking after the Lord, does so to his own destruction. And Uzziah ended up experiencing great failure because of his pride, because of his arrogance, because of not receiving instruction. The simple fact of it was he stopped seeking after the Lord. May we not allow that in our own lives. Amen. Seek after the Lord. Be teachable. Receive instruction. And as long as we seek after the Lord, we're going to find that God's going to make us to prosper. Amen. Because in the will of God and in the center of God's care, there is nothing but prospering. But when we let self and pride and arrogance and all of those things begin to take over life, we do so to our own destruction. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example. Even though it's not a good example, we would be wise to learn from it. Father, I pray that we would be humble. humble before the Lord. We would be determined to seek after God, to learn of you, to have your character implanted into our life. Father, that we would be teachable and receive instruction and not be fools who despise wisdom and instruction. Father, so that we might be able to increase in learning, that we might be able to be wise and profitable, and Lord, that our life would experience success, but also, Lord, that you would receive the glory from a life that is lived in the will of God. Father, we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to make the applications in our own life, that the Word of God would find good lodging in the hearts even tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good to be with you tonight. We need to have choir practice tonight here.